This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Well, the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Very simply put, Gary Cohen is one of the best that has ever done this as a baseball play-by-play guy. He's the voice of the Mets on SNY. Now, the game tomorrow is not on SNY, but exclusive pre- and post-game tomorrow on SNY. Special one-hour pregame coverage begins at 6 p.m., and the game will be national on ESPN. And we start off with that, Gary. You're a much nicer, more chill guy than I am. I ran into the same thing last year. First game, Yankees-Nationals, you're waiting, baseball finally there, and you don't get to do the game. Does it chap you a little bit that you're not doing the game?
Well, actually, this is the second time this has happened to us. After the Mets went to the World Series in 2015, Major League Baseball scheduled them against the Royals to open up in 2016, and ESPN took that game. So we've been down this road before. It stinks, but, you know, it's the same thing as the whole postseason thing. It's what you sign up for when you do TV. So yep. I'm fired up for the season. I'm sure you're fired up for the season, and we'll just have to wait till Saturday, although – you know, the weather's supposed to be awful tomorrow night in D.C., and the Nats now have this COVID problem, so who knows whether we ever make it to the starting blocks tomorrow.
You know, I'm just looking at the graphic of you on Yes, 33rd season with the Mets, and I remember the first time Bob Murphy introduced you and you replaced Gary Thorne. I just can't believe it's been three decades already.
Yeah, I even had some hair back then. It's been a long time. You know, I see my life as kind of a Mets continuum from the time I was 6 years old being a fan. I was fortunate enough to land with the team I grew up for, much as Michael did. And, you know, it's a dream come true even now at year 33.
Now, this is a good Met team. This is a really good Met team. The offense could be really terrific. Is there something that you worry about going into the season, Gary, with this team?
Oh, sure. There are lots of things. The bullpen is still a question mark. They certainly enhanced it by bringing in Trevor May and Aaron Loop, but Dylan Betances and Jerry's Familia both look like, you know, some fraction of what they used to be, and they still have a lot to prove. So that's an area. Defense is definitely going to be a concern unless there's a last-minute decision tonight to put the DH in. That hurts the Mets at three positions. They're weaker at third base, left field, and center field than they would be otherwise, and at first base too. And the starting rotation is certainly up for question once you get past DeGrom. It's deeper than it was last year, but you've already got Carlos Carrasco hurt. Marcus Stroman didn't pitch at all last year. Noah Syndergaard's not going to be back until sometime a couple of months into the season. So, there are certainly areas of concern, but the offense is not one of them. It should be one of the best offensive teams in baseball, which it was last year, except for the mild problem of being able to drive in runs. I mean, if you look at their OPS, if you look at their weighted runs created, if you like that stat, they were one of the two or three best offensive teams in baseball last year, and they've only gotten better with the addition of Lindor.
Back to the bullpen for a second, Gary. What's your feel on Diaz going in?
Oh, I'm very positive on Diaz. I think he's going to be great. I mean, he was great last year. He gave up two really badly timed home runs, one to Ozuna in the second game of the season, and the one he gave up to Aaron Hicks at Yankee Stadium. And otherwise, he was great last year. And the other guy who I think is going to be a big-time pitcher for them, he's always had the arm, but I think he's finally harnessed himself, at least he certainly looked that way this spring, is Miguel Castro. And that's a reason for hope in that bullpen.
You know, DeGrom gets the start tomorrow. He's just so fun to watch. He's just great at what he does. Is he at the level now, Gary, because you've been a Met fan since you're six and you certainly – can answer this. Is he at the level now that you could almost mention him in the same breath as Seaver?
He's the next guy on the list now. I mean, I think that he has checked all the boxes to at least draw even with the rest of the pantheon, right? Whether you put Kuzmin or Gooden in that next spot, to put together the stretch that he has over the last 3 years, where he has clearly been, with apologies to Gerrit Cole, the best pitcher in baseball, and that he only continues to throw harder. This is a guy who's going to turn 33 in June, and his velocity keeps getting better because he is such a freakish athlete. He's unbelievable. And he said something yesterday that I don't know. Michael, you correct me if I'm wrong. Have you ever heard a player say before, "I want to make it to the Hall of Fame"?
Yeah, that struck me too. Yeah, that was weird. But
he said that yesterday, and I was stunned by it because, you know, there's interesting conversation around that, right? If he puts together two more years the way he has the last three, that will be a Koufax-like stretch of excellence, right? And, you know, we all know the arc of Sandy Koufax's career. He came to the big leagues much too soon. He had 6 or 7 years where he was a middling pitcher, and then the light went on, and he had the greatest 5-year stretch that any pitcher's ever had. Well, DeGrom came to the big leagues at an older age, has been excellent from the start, but the last 3 years has been at an otherworldly level. So if he does it for two more years, does he, you know, fit in that niche as far as a Hall of Famer is concerned? And it's an interesting question, but I thought it was fascinating that he brought it up, because you very rarely, if ever, hear a player go to that level. But I think it gives you an idea that he's looking for new ground to cover, that he wants to keep getting better. And, you know, after you won two Cy Youngs and put together a third season that came close to that, what more is there to vault to with, other than team success, than, you know, looking toward immortality?
And the other thing, Gary, that I love about DeGrom from a circumstances standpoint is, you know, now with Steve Cohen here and he's got a contract, you know, the thing with Seaver, he got taken from me twice, right? And then Doc, you know, with his situation, to be able, even if he doesn't end up being identical to Seaver's career, just how amazing would it be that it could all happen here?
That would be great, but Don, let me tell you that he does have an opt-out in his contract after next year. So I don't think we're home free yet as far as that's concerned. but I understand what you're saying. Yeah, it would be great if he could be a lifelong Met and not have the rug pulled out from under him. Well, fortunately, there are no Dick Youngs on the horizon right now to write DeGrom's epitaph in New York.
And the situation has changed to where if they want to keep him, I think they can. So it makes me feel a little bit better in that situation.
Gary,
yeah.
when you look at the Mets offense this year, I mean, you know what you're getting in Lindor. I feel pretty good that you know what you're getting with Alonso, though I guess that's a somewhat of a question based on some of last season. Who's that player in the lineup that you really think their ability to play well offensively could be the difference maker for this team?
Well, that's an interesting question, because all of them have performed at high levels over the last couple of years. The one guy that took a step back last year was J.D. Davis. He reached base at about the same rate that he did in 2019, but his power was down. He made such a great impression in 2019. And, you know, the question marks about J.D. are about his glove, but he's got to hit enough to outplay his glove to stay in the lineup. So if he can get back to where he was in 2019 and do that on a consistent basis, that's obviously huge. But, you know, the guy who you know, flies under the radar when you talk about the pieces in that lineup is Dom Smith, because he has taken his game to an entirely different level. I am fascinated to see what he's capable of doing over a 162-game season. Remember, his season cut short 2 years ago because of a fractured foot, and then the short season last year, he performed at such an incredibly high level. I think the sky is the limit for a guy with that kind of swing, who has really bought into being an all-field hitter with power. And, you know, he's the guy, you know, other than Lindor, who's going to draw all the eyeballs this year, who I'm really anxious to see what he's able to do over a full season.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Talking to Gary Cohen, the television voice of the New York Mets on SNY. Gary, when I look at this team, I agree, you know, you worry about the bullpen a little bit, but I also worry a little bit about the defense. Sandy Alderson has never put that much of an emphasis on defense when he's built teams in his career. Does the defense worry you a little bit? Because, again, without the DH, you've got Dom Smith in left. He's not Barry Bonds. Your center fielder, Nimmo, should actually be in left, and Dom Smith should be at first, and Alonso should be the DH. Does the defense scare you a little?
Well, certainly defense is not the strength of this team. They've been one of the worst defensive teams in baseball over the last few years. But they have improved at shortstop with Lindor. Mm-hmm. They've certainly improved behind the plate with James McCann. And they'll improve at second base with McNeil playing there most of the time rather than Robbie Cano. So, you know, I think that they're going to be better. It's not going to be the great calling card for this team. But if they can just be adequate defensively and perform offensively the way they should, they should be okay. There's no question the DH would help them enormously. But, you know, with the DH not in play this year, I think they'll be okay as long as they don't, butcher it the way they did at times last year. The other factor in that, and you know, this goes to what hurt the Mets last year. I mean, you look at some of the particulars on this team, and you would have thought they would have performed much better than their record, but their base running was also atrocious last year. And that's something that has to get a lot better, too.
Gary, how about McNeil? He had a monster year 2 years ago. He's finally at home at second base. What are your expectations for him this year?
Well, if he can stay out of the way of the baseball occasionally, you know, he got hit by pitches 8 times this spring, which I've never seen before, he'll be fine. You know, I think he finally figured out who he was last year. You know, the second half of 19, he started hitting a lot of home runs, and I think he got caught up in that a little bit. But by September of last year, he had figured himself out again, and he started spraying the ball all over the place. And, you know, he's a guy who's capable of winning a batting title, and he's serviceable at every position you put him at, and I think second base is probably his best spot. So there's a lot less pressure on him in this lineup, too, because it is so strong from top to bottom. I think he's poised for a big year.
All right, and finishing up, Gary, how much did it impact you broadcasting games without anybody in the stands?
Well, I mean, it was different. Mm-hmm. To me, the lack of people in the stands part from a broad—I mean, obviously from an atmosphere standpoint, you want there to be fans in the stands. You want the, you know, the noise and the genuine reaction. But honestly, from a broadcasting standpoint, the bigger deal last year, which is still going to be the deal to start this year, is doing games remotely. You know, there's no substitute for being in the ballpark and being able to soak up all the nuances of what's going on. And, you know, you and I and everybody else did the best we could last year, and we're going to do that this year as well until they set us free to go on the road. But, you know, it'll obviously be great to have people in the ballpark, and it'll be even better when they can fill up the ballpark and, you know, and we can get back to some degree of normalcy.
Isn't there a little part of you, Gary, just between us and make believe other people aren't listening, that somebody in some room with a visor has figured out, you know what, we can save a lot of money if we don't travel these guys, that this might be the new normal?
Oh, I'm well aware of that, Mike. and that certainly is my fear. Let's just hope we get back to the way things were before. But first, we have to get everybody vaccinated, and we have to, you know, make it safe for everybody to go about their normal lives. And you know, I think we got jolted back to reality today with the Nationals and this this little COVID problem that they have, that this thing isn't over yet. So we'll take it one step at a time.
Gary, great talking to you. Please have a great year. Maybe we'll see each other during the Subway Series. Stay safe and tell everybody hello.
Thanks, Gary.
Michael and Don and Pete, you guys have a great year, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Gary.
Thank you. That's Gary Cohen, and SNY will not do the game tomorrow. It will be on ESPN, but they will have the pre- and post-game coverage. I think that, yeah, I don't think. I know that pre-game coverage starts at 6. Post-game coverage usually finishes or starts when the game ends, so I don't know what time that will be, but hopefully there will be a game. So there's rain in the forecast and then the COVID situation as well, but hopefully there is going to be a game. That we're not hearing that there won't be.
Don't be hard on yourself. We know that you've had a hard time with goodbyes today.
Mm-hmm.
So post-game's confusing. It's sort of like the goodbye from earlier, you know?
All right, be well. You say hello too. Ah, boy. Let's take a brief timeout, and then we're gonna take some phone calls, and we're gonna be joined by the big fella.
Oh, I love the big fella.
Yeah, the big fella is gonna take over at 6:30 tonight, so that's good.
Yeah, because
we'll talk to the big
7:30 Nick. So he gets a nice hour.
He gets 7:30 Nick pregame. Yeah, a nice hour, and what he can do with an hour. By the way, I don't even know if you realize it, Peter. Don had one of the underrated lines in the history of the show.
Go ahead.
I said, and he said it in such a way that a lot of people didn't hear it, but some people did. I said, you can never have enough Chris Carlin. And Don said,
Chris Carlin can never have enough?
No. He said something.
God did.
No,
right?
No,
is that
no.
What I said?
No.
I don't even remember.
God thought so.
Oh, God thought so, right.
I don't understand. Oh, wait. That's
why God made him big.
You know what, Don? Shame on you. You fat, shaming son of a gun.
All right, we'll break it down with Christopher when he gets back. The big fella, as we call him. And then ENN at 6, and we'll have the results of another Fixed Drop Madness. It's Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg, and you heard me right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.